Welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast with your hosts, Ryan Dangle.
It's a tie? What are we, true, in Europe? Like, what? Soccer?
Ties happen in the NFL, man.
They're called draws, right?
Yeah, dude, why? Why are we doing? No, absolutely not. All right, well, you got to keep your own record now because I don't have a tie column. I got a win-loss column.
Patrick Sheldon.
I say that because the flashlight emanating and beaming from the steaming pile of as today's game is David Montgomery. He is the flashlight in my pile of poop.
Brendan Chagrou.
So our buddy Brendan, who writes for USA Today, I have always screwed up his last name. Brendan. Brendan.
And Jack Wright.
Sorry, Captain Flo's over there.
I'm not Captain.
So you're not excited, Jack? You're not excited about having Sarah Spain?
Yeah,
on your
wow.
Show?
Maybe no, I'm talent. Is that what we found out?
Featuring Cam Ellis.
Once I was like trying to get a happy answer out of him, and I was like, "Hey, man, like, do you take out of these situations? Like, what is it like to know that like you're this beloved that like these videos are going viral?" And he was just like, "I don't do it for that attention." And then they just took the next question, and I was just like, "Okay, like, I'm gonna melt into my seat and never come back here ever again."
And Logan Bradley.
Bears, rich history defensively, lot of good linebackers. First round draft pick, hell of a player, a Bear that is going to go down in history. Nobody's going to forget. I am bringing back Shea McClellan.
The Bear Down Chicago podcast. Yeah, we're that Bears podcast.
All right, folks, welcome into another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. There's so many ways I thought about starting this episode, some of them with me crying, some of them with me laughing. It's just good to not be alone on this one. I got to bring the assistant editor of Bears Wire. It's Brendan Chagrou. Brendan, first and foremost, I want to say thank you for covering for the last couple of weeks. I've had a lot going on, family stuff, and it hasn't been easy to be around. Brendan, without missing a beat, covered everything. And so, Brendan, thank you, thank you, thank you. How are you, buddy?
It's no problem. Honestly, it's really no issue at all. It's fun to drive at some points. I just wish my internet would keep up because every time I push buttons, my computer or something is like, yeah, we don't like that. You're doing too much. You're talking and you're pushing buttons and we just can't handle it. So it made for some fun jokes for everything the last few weeks. But I'm doing okay. This is tough. I mean, it's just, I know I texted in the chat like, boy, I can't wait to see how the Bears blow this one. And it's never easier just when it actually happens. Is it going to be another Hail Mary? Is it going to be a stupid penalty? Is it going to be a blocked field goal? Door number three was the answer, but I don't know. I just feel like I'm kind of numb at this point because we have literally seen it all from this coaching staff in terms of being unable to close out games. And credit to Matt Eberflus for at least keeping it interesting. The guy is Hall of Fame level when it comes to snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. So I'm doing okay, but it's going to be good to talk this one out.
I think you said it best. Yeah, it's happened every way imaginable and for 11 straight. I should have put a timer on and I didn't. And that is my fault for when is the first time we're going to get a Green Bay fan hopping into the podcast. It's going to happen at some point. Again, 11 straight. What do you think it's like to be on the other side? That's something I've been thinking about a lot. Before you answer that question, let's also bring to the stage my right-hand man. It's Jack Wright. Now, if you want to find Brendan on Twitter, it's at Brendan Chagrou. That's S-U-G-R-U-E. You want to find Jack on Twitter, it's at Bear Down Jack. Jack, how are you suffering through this terrible, terrible loss yet again?
I think I made a wise choice. I talked a lot about how the only way to watch the game is to be dead inside. Last week on the show. And so I just chose that. It was kind of a Matt Nagy strategy I adopted towards the end of his tenure. And I think when you know, I went into the game just not expecting a whole lot. And it actually made the game a lot more enjoyable, if I'm being honest. I didn't have high hopes for the way that the Bears would perform today. And then I'll be honest, like, you might think I'm crazy, and I might be crazy. Some sort of, like, odd, like, guttural, demonic laugh just broke out for me on the field goal block. Like, I just started laughing uncontrollably because, like, you can't make this shit up. Like, there's no way you can, like, design more ways for us to suffer in a loss than what the Bears have done. So I couldn't even be mad. I didn't cry. I just oddly laughed really hard.
So we have a special guest with us today, and hopefully he's going to help bring some levity to this and maybe look at things in a slightly different way. Before we do, I got to set the scene for both you guys. Wife, as you know, works overnight at a hospital. She's got to work tonight, so she was sleeping. She gets out maybe, I don't know, 3 minutes left in the game, and she looks at the screen and she goes, oh, no. And I was like, I'm going to be in a good mood. I promise, babe. I love you. Thank you. And lining up for the field goal, I'm like, both my daughters. I got my three-year-old on my left arm, and I got my one-year-old on my right arm. I'm like, this is it. This is the moment that daddy gets to just overwhelming joy into these girls' lives. And then it gets blocked. Daddy carefully puts them down and just said, I just need a second. Just.
Brian, that's child abuse, man.
Why am I doing this to them? That's child abuse. Why am I doing this to them? I don't know. I don't understand. Let's bring on to the show. He's a very good friend of the podcast. He's also a head football coach of the Naperville North Huskies. Good guy, Sean Drendel. Sean, welcome to the podcast. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're good, man. We're glad to have you. Hey, so just as a quick side note, we're going to talk all things Packers tonight. And all of you that have tuned in, thank you, thank you, thank you for hanging out with us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Jack and I were at the playoff game, and I know, but I just got to say this. Your kids played to the absolute end. They played with unbelievable heart. You can't say anything about the officials, but I can. And I want to throw Brendan in on this one, just Brendan, because let's just say it's, I don't know, the opposing team, which I don't want to take anything away from them because they are so good. They were so well coached. They were deserving of it. But just Brendan, I'm going to set the scene for you. They're on the 15-yard line, ready to score, right? They throw the ball out to the running back. Kid is a stud, absolute stud. Someone blows a whistle. You think, okay, all the defenders stop playing because they hear a whistle. The kid gets up and runs in for a touchdown, and the officials say, still good. What would you say to that?
Who blew the whistle?
We don't know. It wasn't one of the officials, so they said, oh, it wasn't us, so we're going to let it go. But defenders just playing. Like, I don't –
that's
it was
dirty.
One thing.
I mean
– we heard a bunch of the news reporters in the back just going, wait a minute, why? So, Sean, I know you can't say anything, but I sure can. Your kids fought hard. That call didn't sit right with me, man.
No, I mean, obviously, when you play the game, it sometimes appears as if games come down to one play, but you know they not fully. But you know that it was tough to take that score was tough, very painful. Yeah. But we move on, and as we watch with the Bears game, you know, it wasn't one play that didn't win the game today. It was multiple. It just feels like one play cost them the game.
Absolutely.
And I will say, just an unbiased observer, like, obviously you don't want the defenders going after the running back if the whistle actually blew, because you're afraid, hey, that could be unnecessary roughness. You give them a free first down, stuff like that. So I think that's, you know, proper coaching. You play to the whistle and everybody heard a whistle. I don't know. There's something dirty there, and it's really unfortunate. So I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it hurt, but it wasn't the deciding play, but it definitely was a play that was a factor.
Yeah. It, like I said, I don't want to take anything away from that team because they were well coached. There were some crazy talented players. It just was one of those that you go, that's not right. And, you know, so anyway, let's move on. I want to talk I don't want to talk about the Bears and the Packers, but we're going to do it anyway. So let's talk about it. Before we do that, we've got some people that we need to thank. Brendan, do you have a breakdown for us? If not, I know you're a very busy guy today. No worries. We're going to move on from there.
I've known Coach Reynolds for a long time. If there's a man who likes a clean cut, who likes to have a really solid, fresh haircut, it's that guy. He probably goes to Sheridan's Barbershop, I would guess. It's a cornerstone of the Wheaton community. He probably goes to Hensel's in Naperville, though. But there's in Wheaton, Sheridan's has been a cornerstone of the community since 1954. It's where old school charm meets modern style. It's located in the heart of historic downtown Wheaton, Illinois. They've got six master barbers ready to keep you looking sharp. Sheridan's is open Monday through Saturday, so it's easy to fit a fresh cut into your schedule with appointments available online or by phone. You can go to sheridansbarbershop.com or you can call 630-668-0137 and book your appointment today. If you're not in the Wheaton area and you live closer to Naperville or Plainfield or Oswego, you can head to downtown Naperville, hit up Hensel's Barbershop. It's been a local favorite since 1966. They offer the same unbeatable service with a crew of six skilled barbers, open Tuesday through Saturday. They've got you covered with walk-ins and appointments alike. Whether you need a quick cleanup or a full transformation, Hensel's has you covered. Sheridan's and Hensel's Barbershops, where traditional meets modern.
All right, boys, so let's do this. Let's go around the horn. Let's just get overall thoughts on the game, where we kind of think things went wrong, maybe even some things that went right, because there was definitely some fun things to watch. I think I was the one that texted at some point. I know that I was the one that texted at some point, hey, at least they've had some fight today, because the last couple weeks they have not had any fight. I think Shane Waldron was kind of sucking the fun out of that one. So let's do around the horn, just brief thoughts on the overall thoughts on the game. For this one, let's go Brendan, Sean, Jack, and I will finish it up.
I had to make sure I was unmuted, almost committed a faux pas. Look, this one, it comes down to the defense. I know that we all want to focus on the blocked field goal, and we will, because obviously it's a very scrutinized play. But it comes down to defense and coaching for me. The Bears defense coming to start the game, laid an egg. The Packers were able to drive all the way down the field. They weren't prepared. They had too many men on the field when they scored the first touchdown. So they were already put in a hole. Credit to the offense for fighting back and actually giving the Bears a chance in this game. But it also happened coming out of halftime too. And especially when a defense, like the Bears offense actually kept the ball at the end of half. They mounted a great four-minute drive, and then they got a field goal on the ensuing possession coming out of halftime. So you would think, okay, the defense hasn't played in 45 minutes. The Packers' offense is cold. And what do? They go down and score a touchdown. So, like, the two of the three Packers' touchdowns came on essentially opening possessions. You can't have that, especially for Matt Eberflus being the defensive coach there. That's a huge problem. Now, I think we should definitely give a lot of credit to Caleb Williams and especially Thomas Brown. Those two guys and the entire offense was just so on a much different level. Things just made sense. There was comfortability there. I thought that the third down and the fourth down plays in particular were very, very effective, and they weren't trying to get too cute with it. I thought some of the jet sweeps made sense when they made sense. Like DJ Moore was fighting hard for it. So the offense definitely took a huge step in the right direction. And then pretty much what everybody's been saying about the missed field or the blocked field goal. I'm so sick and tired of coaches just playing scared and taking plays off and just saying these don't matter because we're going to just rely on a 45 yarder or whatever. Like, we'd like to think those are chip shots, but they're not. And if you have a chance to get more yards, especially when the offense has actually looked competent and when they've had certain plays ready to go for certain situations, why not take that chance? I was getting flashbacks to the 2019 game against the Chargers where Matt Nagy pulled the same BS. I had flashbacks to the double doink where we're all trying to say, well, at least Caleb Williams looked good trying to get the Bears to that position. They didn't win, though. Like, I'm so freaking sick and tired of that. Like, give me a head coach that says I'm going to take advantage of every single play and every single second on the clock to push the ball downfield and get as close as possible, because even though I know I have a good kicker, I'm going to make sure there are zero doubts or as little doubts on the field as possible to make sure that goes in. And that didn't happen once again. So I'm just, it, to me, coaching and defense, that's what it comes down to.
Coach Drendel, I definitely want to hear your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, so I mean, I was impressed with the way the Bears played. I wasn't overly happy with they started the game and started the second half defensively. But, you know, they won. The big thing in the NFL and college and all of football right now is win the last 4 minutes of the first half and the first 4 minutes of the second half. And I thought they did a good job of controlling that situation. They got the ball out of Caleb Williams' hands quickly, which allowed their not great offensive line with a lot of injuries to actually have some success. So I thought that that stuff was really good. I agree with Brendan that to play for a 46 yarder, especially as we get into later November, December in Chicago, we've had some kicking scenarios that haven't always been great in the cold weather. The wind blows funny ways and every kicker talks about it. So, you know, playing for that long of a kick, I don't quite understand it. I know they're professionals and they're supposed to do that, but why not take a shot to, you got a lot of money invested in a DJ Moore. He's one-on-one with a corner late in the game. You know, take a shot for a touchdown there where, you know, they got 20 seconds to score on you. And if you can't stop them again, then that's your own problem. So that's kind of where I'm at. I know some guys talked about the fourth and two. I would have punted there anyway. I like the punt call, pin them deep and try to play defense. But, you know, the big one for me is not playing aggressive to win games. You're 4-5. Like, it's not like you're trying to hold on to something. Like, go win a game. You haven't beat the Packers in how long? Like, go win a game. Like, you got a bunch of money in your quarterback, a bunch of money in a receiver, and all your receivers. Like, go win the game. So.
Go ahead, Brendan. I have a couple questions for Coach.
Yeah, I mean, essentially just kind of saying what Sean's been saying. The Bears were aggressive at times. I mean, they were 3 for 3 on fourth downs. The calls worked. I think they were 6 for 14 or 9 for 16 on third downs. It was very effective. So I just love that mentality. Like, you have not beaten – no player currently on the Bears has beaten the Packers as a member of the Bears. They do not know what that feeling is like. Why not say, guys, this is the moment. This is the chance we turn this around. For Flus, this is a chance for him to turn it around. And just go for it.
Well, to Sean's point, too, DJ Moore, one-on-one with a corner, and it's not Jair Alexander. Like, Jair Alexander is on the sideline. Their best players, like, take a shot, man. See what Cole Kmet can do down the middle. Do something, you know, like, take two runs. Why not take two runs? See what else you could do. I don't understand that. So Coach, again, I understand, like, you not wanting to just slam another football coach, but just two questions, what you would have done in those situations. So Bears are about the 50-yard line. It's 4th and 3, and you're saying, I get it, but I'm punting. That's correct, Coach, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have a great punter. We put money in our punter, right? So let's pin them deep and go play defense. Unfortunately, you know, it's crazy to talk about money, but the guy we gave the most money to at corner stumbles on a big play, right? Like, there's, it just seemed like, you know, like that Packers stigma, I've had it with teams. There's certain teams that I struggle with myself, but like, you gotta, in those situations, you gotta be aggressive and go for it. And maybe in that 4th and 2, maybe we should have went for it. Like, thinking about that same mentality is be aggressive and go for it. I love their play calls on 4th down today. Like, I thought they did a great job. And I love the aggressiveness. I just think we got really tentative late and hoped our defense would stop them.
And then just one more question. So sorry, Jack. I know it's your turn, and I really want to hear your thoughts on this game. But just a chance to talk to Sean, who has made tough decisions, you know, in tough times, you know, time and time again. So then, Sean, the other one is, okay, so now the Bears are in position. I do get the decision to try to have Roschon run it just to see, you know, maybe he gets a couple yards or something, gets a little bit closer. You've got one timeout in your pocket. Brennan, correct me if I'm wrong, it's what, like 30 seconds left on the clock at this point? Is that right?
I think it was 35. Yeah.
35 seconds. What, you take another shot, right? I mean, like, if you're in that decision, you know, making position, you take a shot, you do something, correct?
Well, at least for me, like, I'll be honest, I would have two plays called. I would add the first down play after the timeout, and I would add a second play after it where I take a shot. And then if we don't complete it, and it would have been a shot for a touchdown, in my opinion. If we don't complete it, we run the ball again and milk the clock down to 3 seconds, call timeout, and kick a field goal on fourth down. Like that's where my mentality would have been. That 46-yarder in Soldier Field, for me, is – you know, you're putting a lot of, and I know guys are kicking the ball great, but, you know, Sean Payton's probably wishing he would have pressed it a little bit harder against KC last week, right? Like, they're still professionals on the other side trying to block the field goal, you know, and these guys are, those are big dudes, and maybe there might have been a, you know, jumping over the center or that leverage call there, but, you know, you're praying if you're hoping to get that. Like, that's a tough call.
Jack,
going for two is the right call in that situation. Yeah.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah. I've seen some people chatting about that. And I think that it was right. It was the correct call. And in that particular like situation, I didn't have my chart like with me. I don't know, Sean, do you carry a chart still? Like, cause I can't do math, or do you have somebody on the sidelines who does the math for you?
Jack, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that other one with that, you know, if the Bears get the two, right. I take that back. If the Bears don't get the two, then they would have kicked for one, right? Like they wouldn't have went for two. So it's the right call for sure.
That's what I thought. Yeah. My biggest takeaway, I was a little surprised that the game was as close as it was going to be. I felt like I saw quite a few, you know, talking heads, you know, saying that there was no way that the Bears would cover. They've not beat LaFleur in a long, long time. He almost always, you know, beats him by a touchdown or more. So that's one. I guess the other thing that was a major takeaway for me just kind of progressed throughout the week was, you know, last time we were on, Brennan and I were talking about there being changes, you know, within the building, and they fired their offensive coordinator, which was clearly the right thing to do. I think as we look back on this season and maybe over the course of Caleb's career, I don't know, it's going to be pretty amazing to look back on a time in which the players had to go into the coaches and ask that they be held more accountable during practice and ask that during reps they be, you know, called on being lazy, and that they had to go to the head coach and do that. And so we had an offensive coordinator who was tasked with, you know, developing our number one pick, our number one quarterback. And once again, that became a situation like we've talked about, which couldn't have been worse. And so I know it's just 1 week with Thomas Brown, but I was impressed. It made me think, man, how in this situation particularly, how bad was Shane Waldron? Like, why was he being so permissive ostensibly? And why was Flus allowing for that permissiveness? You got a group of guys who wants to be held accountable, who are pros, who are asking for the coaches to be a little bit harder on them. I still kind of can't believe that was the situation in Chicago. I don't know why I'm still surprised by that, but I felt like today there was a better scheme. I even liked the couple of times we were on the goal line. It felt like we had real conviction and a real plan, as opposed to what we've seen previously. I thought plays were sequenced much better, much more seamlessly. I thought it was a much better job of putting Caleb in a position to be successful. And the last thing I'll say is that The one thing, even though Caleb has played worse, or he had played worse in the last few games, I got to tell you, I don't think in my lifetime the Bears have had a better quarterback in the building. And the one thing I've not been concerned about is whether or not Caleb is the guy or not. And people can say all they want about, you know, Bo Nix or, you know, other quarterbacks around the league. I think if given the right environment, we got the right guy. He is fully capable of running this offense, being an incredible leader. He's got the arm strength. That's a guy I don't doubt. And if we can try to get the formula just a little bit more right, that does give me some hope.
To your point, Jack, you really hit the nail on the head with two things that I just really want to get after quick. Number one, Caleb's confidence. Shane Waldron gone boosted this kid's confidence. He looked great. He looked great running the football. Like, he has not looked. We haven't seen that athletic ability the same way that I think we maybe expected to see it, because he's been running for his life. But he ran the ball really, 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 really well. And we thought it was awesome. The ball was getting out of his hands faster. That ball to Cole Kmet. You guys know the one I'm talking about. And Tom Brady wouldn't stop talking about it. That couldn't have been better. Over the top of the linebacker, right in the hands, just dime, absolute dime. The other thing too, Jack, that you talk, I think everybody at this point has talked about, Thomas Brown, he does the simple things well. They get to the goal line and it isn't, you know, I want to show you how inventive I am. It's, oh, we got a really good running back in Roschon Johnson. Let's run the rock twice. And it works. We scored a touchdown. I just think that sometimes with the Matt Nagy's that we've had and you know, and this Shane Waldron, it's just so frustrating when you have a really good running back and yeah, your offensive line is a little bit beat up, but they're still big dudes. Push the ball forward, score a touchdown. And they did that. And I just, you know, there was a couple times you're like, oh no, here comes the run. And it was, wait a minute, Caleb still has the ball. I just, Thomas Brown, you know, I know that he did not do well with the Panthers, but I just think nobody would have done well with the Panthers. I feel bad for that guy going to the two most dysfunctional organizations possible. It was fun to watch something. I don't know what he's going to be for the rest of the season, but damn, was it nice to not have Shane Waldron calling these god-awful play calling.
And on that note, and then they ran motion on almost every play. And that was probably the biggest thing that I noticed, like, as a distinct difference from previous weeks. And that just gives Caleb an opportunity to take another look at the field and get a sense of what the defense is doing. And in fact, the whole entire offense, you know, I just felt like that was a thing that made a big difference in the overall scheme today as well.
Well, so, and to jump in there, also, I was going to say RPOs. We haven't seen RPOs in the last few weeks. Yep. And so the fact that, you know, to your point, he was keeping the ball, he was reading the defenses correctly, and there was confidence in him carrying the ball. Like, for one reason or another, Waldron went away from those calls and just kind of was, you know, running things just to run things. Everything did have a purpose. And then you kind of saw once the Packers kind of realized they had to keep somebody behind to watch Caleb Williams, then he was throwing it a little bit more with conviction. And it just felt like as the game went on, he got better and better and more accurate. So, yes, 100% to what everybody's saying there with Thomas Brown calling a much better game and instilling confidence in the entire offense. Because I don't want to just say Caleb, the lineman. For the most part, there were some misses, but I'd say the linemen's blocking scheme was a lot more effective. They were where they needed to be, and there was a lot fewer misses and egregious misses than we've seen in previous weeks.
Just Matt and Matt in the chat talking about Braxton Jones' block on DeAndre Swift's touchdown run. Dude, I don't ever get that excited about offensive line play, but that was incredible. It was so much fun to watch. It's a simple, I mean, okay, coaches, correct me here. It's just a simple outside run, but that block was so perfect. And it just, where has that been couple weeks?
For me, Ryan, you add in the piece that Roma Dunze blocked down, so he pinned the guy inside and was gritty enough to get in there and pin a guy down. And then you get Braxton Jones. Obviously, he's a pretty damn good he's a great athlete. Like, he not only did he knock the guy down, but he was going to try to go escort all the way down and was running stride for stride with multiple people. I think as he gets some more confidence and keeps getting better and better, like, he's a good building block, right?
Boys, I got a question. Oh, go for it, Brendan.
Brian, you mentioned, where was this the last few weeks? Who was missing the last few weeks?
Yeah.
Braxton Jones. I mean, seriously, like this, that's where it is. Braxton Jones proved his value, I think, on this team because he was such a clear upgrade over Larry Borum. And you could actually confidently run to the left side again, where you had no option to do that the last few weeks. So it just goes to show that he continues to be underrated. He does have his issues, but there is still a lot to like there.
Just one other big takeaway that I think is interesting, that's been a theme with the Bears and the Packers, is you kind of couple the Packers' ability to throw the ball deep downfield with the Bears' inability to cover deep downfield in many instances throughout the year, but especially today. But it, like even today, the average yards per pass was like 6 to 14, six for the Bears, 14 plus for the Packers, you know? So I think we took one shot down the sidelines, and I guess I will say at least Caleb threw a little bit better of a ball in that situation. It was at least in bounds, which was great. But I think, you know, Tom Brady was right. He was so wide open, some air under it would have been more effective. But anyway, I guess my point is like, it just seems like it's been a theme for as long as we've been doing this pod, guys. Like why is it that we still can't seem to get instances of finding a streaker up the hash or getting somebody outside on the perimeter, you know, with a pretty good, you know, like in that particular situation, Odunze had his man beat by, I want to say, 4 to 5 yards. Again, we watch around the league and we see those types of dynamic plays happening rather frequently. And Sean knows this, like when you're able to take the top off, we've talked about it a million times, right? Like the way that changes, like the box and the way that changes the run game is, you know, it's just a great ripple effect. So I'm not quite sure. That's a really big and disparate difference between, you know, that's probably one of the key differences in the game, right? Is their ability to throw the ball downfield, our inability to cover downfield, and our inability to take the top off the secondary from Green Bay.
Well, like Jack, I think in the NFL game, there's opportunities to do that, and you have to have playmakers out there. And I think the Bears have them. Like, go through every once in a while, you got to throw a one-on-one ball and let your guy go make a play. And I just don't think they have enough faith yet in whether it's blocking up front or their guys on the edge. But man, like when you throw the ball up to Odunze or DJ Moore or even Allen still at his age, they are playmakers. Like go let them go make it's one-on-one. Let them go make a play with a guy who's got his back turned and see what happens every once in a while. I'm not saying press it all the time, but they have opportunities to press it. I'd like to see them do a little bit more.
Well, and that can also be the Tyler Scott role too. He's not doing anything on offense, and he is kind of that burner. We saw it in the preseason. I mean, at worst case, well, I shouldn't say worst case. Worst case is an interception, but you could also get a pass interference call too that still moves the ball. You just have to take some of those shots. And I do agree, Sean, that there are some, you know, there are some mismatches there. I think Odunze is your best option. He's got the size. He's got the speed, but there's a burner on that team, number 10. He has not caught a pass yet this year, and they do not want to use him. I'm not saying Tyler Scott is a great receiver at all, but he does have value with some speed of those streaks. So, you know, there could be some opportunities there.
And it is specific to the Bears. I mean, you see Mooney doing that in Atlanta now. You see receivers that we've had previous who have been brought in because of their speed just not seemingly fill that role here, but fill that role on other people's teams.
The one for me, like Jack, is, you know, we talk about speed, but I think it's more about ball catching ability. Like these other teams, like Mooney doesn't really run by people, but he has great ball sense and makes tough catches. And we have two guys that really are really good at it. I think DJ Moore fights for footballs and fights and has great body control. And I think Odunze is right there. I know Keenan Allen has struggled with a little bit catching the ball, but those two guys are elite ball catching skill guys. Mm-hmm. Give them a chance. Right.
Komet and DJ and Swift caught every ball that came their way today. I want to say Rome was 7 out of 10 targets. You probably don't want to hear Keenan Allen's statistics.
We don't. But what here's the thing is, if you think about that one ball that was out of reach for Rome, he had a hand on it. You know what I mean? Like, it sometimes the ball bounces the wrong way. And I remember watching the replay of it and just watching it just kind of like fall out of his hands. But dude made every attempt at it. I love the development that we're quietly seeing out of Roma Dunze. Maybe, you know what, maybe you look back and say, okay, Keenan Allen was a miss, that you should have brought him in on an offensive lineman instead of Keenan Allen. Me, I've said this several times, but the one thing I am thinking about is he learning a lot from him and DJ Moore? And if that's the case, then because this season is pretty much, I mean, it's not finished yet, but the door, you know, like the death is knocking on the door. It's coming pretty soon. And so now you think development. Well, what are we thinking about? We're thinking about Caleb Williams, who looked fantastic today, at least in my opinion. As the game went on, he got better and better. And now you're thinking about, him and Roma Dunze, which Matt Van Der Zanden, his comment, that back shoulder catch by Rome on fourth feels like something I hope to see years to come. I'm not completely giving up on this season, but I kind of am. And I'm thinking about the development of this team. Keenan Allen, hey, have a seat. I want more Rome. And you're right, Tyler Scott. Let's see him. Let's see what else he can do. It's time to see what else is going on. Boys, I want to get to a true false. We haven't had a true false in a little bit here. And I know you know this one is coming. I know this one is coming. We've obsessively talked about this a lot. But true false, Matt Eberflus will be fired at the end of this season. Seeing all kinds of outlandish reports saying that he's around for two more years, no matter what happens. Other people saying that it's already happening. So I really want to know where you guys are at on this one. For this true or false, let's go the same order. So that will be Brendan, Sean, Jack, and I will finish it up.
True. I don't really know what else to add here. I mean, just look at the freaking film. Look at the results. You cannot lose games. You cannot lose games like you've been losing them. I mean, this is definitely a coaching issue, and you're in a four-game skid right now. This was supposed to be the year that you actually took a leap. Brian Poles said it. The players have said it. There was all the buzz. Like, this was not another rebuilding year. This is, and I know a lot of people have talked about just like the moral victory. Like, well, Caleb looked good, and I know we were talking about it just, you know, a few minutes ago. Rome looked good. This isn't 2022 anymore. We're not trying to freaking tank. This is supposed to be the team that gets us, that is the start of the build. Like, we're done rebuilding. So the fact that it all comes down, you can pretty much say it all comes down to coaching for many, many of these issues. There's just no reason at this point to keep him. Players are saying it. Players keep having to talk to Ryan Poles about it. I truly think, in my opinion, that while things were trending the wrong way, the dagger came earlier in the week when it was revealed that Matt Eberflus simply wanted to demote Shane Waldron, and Ryan Poles had to step in and say, no, 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 we're firing him. We are making a culture change because this is not good enough. And the GM had to step in, reportedly, and do what the coach wouldn't do. That, to me, told me everything, what this regime, what Ryan Poles, what Ian Cunningham think about Matt Eberflus. It is only a matter of time. I don't care how many years are left on the goddamn contract. He's gone. It's probably not going to happen tomorrow like people want, but it is going to happen at the end of the season.
Well, I'm one of those guys that you hate to see a coach get fired. I'm not sure if the Bears have it in them to do it because of financial constraints that they keep going at. So we shall see with that. But the scary part for me is, again, players going in to talk to him about holding us more accountable and some of those things that's where when you start hearing those reports, you really start to get worried, like what's going on there. So I agree with Brendan on if he wouldn't fire Shane Waldron, then Poles had to step in. Like, that's a tough case. And I guess the Bears are kind of showing their hands with that.
I'm going to say true. I would think, like, even if you just solely use the win-loss record, I think You could probably just like make it an open and shut close, you know, case there. You just, you know, Ryan, you say it rather frequently, right? And like, it's the big boy leagues, you know, you're measured as a head coach on whether or not you win or not. You know, but I guess I would say like, it's like, unless Brendan just got some sort of late breaking news, do the McCaskies still own the Bears? Because that's, you know, I think he should be fired. Will he be fired? I don't know. And then to me, you know, like the big question after that would be, you know, who comes next and how does that hiring process happen? I don't know about you guys, but man, every clip of Harbaugh out there, you know, with the Chargers just makes my heart like both happy and sad. I mean, football coach. Dude is just a football coach. He clearly has great relationships with those guys. He is like 1,000% their biggest fans. He's made Herbert play infinitely better. You talk about culture. The entire culture of the Chargers has shifted from a guy like taking the helm of that team. So if you just even want to like hold, you know, Harbaugh up next to Flus and start thinking about what you want to do next, I think it makes it pretty clear. And I know the beef on Harbaugh. I know like maybe he wears out his welcome. The dude wins. The dude is a football coach. The dude changes football culture. And he also elevates the play of the entire team. And I'd like to have a head coach like that sometime before I retire or die.
Boys, I'm sorry. You know, I'm bringing back old history now. I haven't been on the pod for a couple of weeks. Like I said, I had some stuff going on. Matt Eberflus lost this team, not at the Hail Mary, but the second he stood up to the podium and did not take full accountability for that loss. The players looked at that and said, "Oh no, we're done with you now." Any coach of any sport will tell you this. Everybody knows, right? I didn't coach football. I coached gymnastics. But every time I was interviewed, that's on me. That's on me as a head coach. That's on me. You have to take full responsibility. And when you know, you don't do that, dude, this guy is at times clueless, which sucks because every single one I've talked to, I was talking to Jason Leisure. He and I were sending a couple DMs back and forth, and he just said he's a really good human being. And Jack, you have pounded the table for, hey, let's look at holistically what's going on with this team. And I think you've made some excellent points about that, right? Because it's not all on Matt Eberflus. It definitely isn't, right? But the thing is, it starts at the top with him, and he was a culture guy a year and a half ago. He's not a culture guy anymore. He's lost that locker room. Bro, you have to stand up and take full accountability. And then you go into a closed doors and be like, I can't believe you didn't do this thing. Now, no one else is going to know it except for you and I, right? That you are supposed to be here and not there, right? But I'm going to take full responsibility because I'm the head coach and he hasn't done that. And I hope with all my heart that Ryan Poles has seen that and gone, okay, it's time. We're going to ride out to the end of the season because that's a McCaskey style. That's how we do things. But this dude is done.
Here, Ryan, I'll throw another one at you. Is it above that? When you say it starts at the top, is it above it? Is it above Matt Eberflus?
4 weeks ago, I said Ryan Poles was untouchable. Man, I don't know. You know, this one wasn't on him, but him presenting this terrible defensive line and terrible offensive line as enough and signing Keenan Allen in, I mean, just like instead of getting another offensive line, I don't know.
I think it does. I mean, and I was going to say, I am sympathetic, maybe not to the extent of you and Sean and Jack, of wanting head coaches fired, because I do understand it is a business. We've seen it a lot, and it does go, there's a lot more nuance when it comes to just head coaches. But, you know, when you see these habits continue to happen, I mean, I'll just say Matt Eberflus was the hits guy. He was the hard practice guy. And now you have reports of players saying guys aren't working hard in practice. Like, who does that go to? That goes to the head coach. And the reason I don't think Brian Poles will get fired, but I do think there is justification for saying that his seat should be a little bit warm at the very least, because he's the guy who vouched for Flus. Kevin Warren wanted to get rid of him. He figured that, look, we need to start over. And Ryan Poles reportedly said, no, I think we can win with this guy. He brought him back specifically. And now that looks terrible on him because things continue to get worse. So, yeah, I don't think he should be off limits. I do think it's crazy you said he was untouchable, though. That's
Ryan Poles was untouchable? Yeah, four weeks ago.
Yeah, you said he was untouchable.
When it was the Bears were 4-2 and cooking, yeah, I did. And then all this, and now okay. I don't all think right. so. I don't think so. Yeah.
Okay. I do think it, and I'd be interested to see what Sean thinks about this, but, and I'm not trying to like, again, not trying to give anybody a pass, but I do think it's kind of interesting, you know, when you think about the way in which these coaches are married together. And I know, I'm sure both Sean and I have been in a situation where, like, you get yourself into a specific spot and there's like a lot of energy and a lot of excitement happening like before the season. And you think you've got somebody that's perhaps, you know, very competent and like could be a game changing type of person and a coach. And then all of a sudden it's just not, it's not like, you know, these folks, like these guys are like growing up in the same hometown together and like know each other like the back of their hands and can trust each other to the point where like there's no doubts about like the direction that we're all going in. I'm trying to just for a minute imagine like being Flus, endorsing Waldron, watching it derail and going, oh shit. Like I had a huge choice to make here and I made like the absolute worst one. Now, again, it's on him then to right the ship. If he's a good leader, he takes a look at that and maybe he like gives less and less responsibility to Shane, or he like gets in that office and he says, here's more specifically what we're doing, Shane. Here's your guardrails. You know, it would still be on Flus. But do you know what I'm saying, Sean? Like, I just think it's kind of fascinating to think about how these guys are just kind of like thrown together and then it's like, go make it work. And you're like, sometimes it does.
Whoa. Jack, no.
I know he chose him.
Matty Eberflus wanted Shane Waldron.
I know, but like he's not coached with Shane Waldron. He's not spent any time.
But they interviewed him.
But you got to spend what, a day with him? Like in all your, like what you're looking at is his resume, is what he did with whomever he was with. And you're taking recommendations from Saban and Pete Carroll. And like, I agree with Jack. Like you talk about a tough business. All the guys you're hiring, it's crazy. It happens in college football as well. Like these guys win at a level and then they move up to a new level and then they don't bring the guys that helped them win to the next place. And Eberflus did bring some of his guys and some of them got in trouble and they had to get rid of them last year for whatever reason. But like there's been some questionable calls for him. But and I do feel bad for Matt Eberflus. Like you said before, he's a really good guy. Like people speak very highly of him. He's very intelligent in the defensive mind. Sometimes, you know, you're in a position that maybe just might be too much for you. And that could be the case. Like he's going to land on his feet and he's probably going to do a great job of being a D coordinator for someone. Because he's a great defensive mind. I just think he hasn't been lucky with the guys he's hired on offense and they don't coexist with what he wants to do. It would be what I would think.
But I do think though, and I understand now kind of as you spell it out, I do understand more of what you're saying, both of you guys, that you have a little time, but you don't fully know. I mean, you could say the same thing about a 9-to-5 job when you're interviewing somebody and you're like, hey, I think we could work well together. But I think this is also my issue too, guys, because Matt Eberflus's demeanor, we know he's kind of that like, you know, softer type. He doesn't rock the boat too much, at least, you know, the perception of it is. It seems like he wants a guy that also follows that same sort of line of thinking. And that was Shane Waldron, because he's a lead from the back type of guy. He doesn't want to be, he didn't want to be challenged. He could have hired somebody like Cliff Kingsbury, a former head coach, to come in and run the offense. He didn't want to be challenged. He was threatened. That was a report that came out from Cap. Take it for what it, you know, take that for what you will. I do think sometimes these guys get into situations where they hire their people like them because they think they can work better with them, but it's not in the best interest of the team. I also think of Phil Emery and Mark Trestman. So that to me screams screams as a red flag there, where Matt Eberflus isn't hiring. Maybe he isn't hiring the right type of guys because he's afraid of personalities clashing and he wants to hire guys that he thinks that he can get along with. I don't know that for a fact. It's just what I perceive from the outside, but I get what you guys are saying about not knowing enough about the guy to make a fully fledged, you know, decision there.
This is a way throwback, but Lovie Smith firing Ron Rivera for his guy, Bob Babich. He's like, oh, Bob and I are totally in sync and everything that we're doing.
Yeah.
And reality, like, no. You needed a dude that saw the field differently than you do. And maybe you don't agree personality wise.
Yeah.
And maybe they were clashing at times, but their defense was phenomenal. And then Lovie had to fire his buddy, Bob Babich, because he was a terrible defensive coordinator. Because they maybe they're seeing things that, man, Brendan, that's a really good point, dude. And you made me think about Bob Babich, which I haven't thought about in almost
20
years.
You could have gone Mike Ditka and Buddy Ryan, but you had to go Bob Babich.
Well, you know, just think more. Well,
the other one that's crazy, Jack, that we talked about earlier is when Shane Waldron came in, did Shane bring any of his guys? Like, what, the O-line coach was the same. Like, they kept a lot of same guys.
He brought a couple guys.
He didn't bring his old line coach, which was, in my opinion, rather interesting. Like, that's the guy to be the guy that you, like, your synergy with that guy. So, right. And I'm not defending Shane at all, but like, it probably maybe didn't work there either, right? Like, that's the tough part about the NFL and these high level jobs when you take them.
Boys, we got a lot still to cover. Is it all right if we head out to the outhouse and the penthouse?
Let's do it.
The outhouse and the penthouse.
Now, boys, the outhouse and the penthouse is brought to you by our guy, Jeff Cadwallader. Now, commercial real estate, you need to talk to somebody. You're looking at a spot. You're thinking, I want to open up a new business. Or, man, we really need a bigger space than what we have now, but I just don't know. You've got to get on the phone. You've got to give my guy, Jeff, a call. 630-254-4734. Give him a call. Give him a text. Or you can visit jeffcre.com. Jeff Cadwallader with SVN Landmark Commercial Real Estate. He is the absolute and utter best. I'm telling you, you got any kind of real estate question, even if you're buying a home or selling a home, Jeff is the guy to talk to. He is absolutely your guy because he's our guy. If you talk to Jeff, please let him know the guys at the Bear Down Chicago podcast say hello. All right. So boys, you know how it hits you in waves sometimes? It just hit me in waves. Because the Bears lose, we got to go to the outhouse first. So let's go outhouse, then penthouse for the – if it's not broke, let's stick with it. We're going to go Brendan, Sean, Jack, and I will finish it up. Outhouse, boys. Who do you got?
Guys, I'm going to take the easy one. I'm just going to take Matt Eberflus. I mean, just, again, the – not only just for today, but the entire week, the whole press conference, the radio interview on Monday, his phone not working, to not necessarily knowing about Shane Waldron and then having the rug pulled out from under him when he wouldn't fire him, and then just talking about Caleb possibly being week to week as the starter. I think that was sort of missed, that he even said that sort of BS. And then going into the game where he just completely mismanaged the end of the game again. He has a permanent spot in the outhouse until I say otherwise.
Outhouse, I got to go after the D-line and jumping on 4th-and-3 when you know they're not snapping the ball. So, you know, I know that's a tough situation for a D-line to hold their water, but you know what they're doing. It was early in the game. It could have swayed the game a little bit and put the Bears in a better spot. So I would go with a 4th-and-3 jump.
Two fake ones and then a real one. Real quick, Tucker Kraft for putting up a zero burger on my fantasy team and being – he was just kind of a – that guy is kind of overall just an asshat out on the field. I don't know if you guys watched it, but he's an instigator. That guy's an instigator, big time. And then, let's put Bajan Stad in the outhouse. Like, that guy, he just needs to shut it. Like, just, like, whatever it is that he's doing or saying most of the time just pretty much irks me. But overall, I put the secondary for the first time. The secondary has been so good this year. But I mean, ultimately today, like 13 receptions for 261 yards with a touchdown with a long of 60. Christian Watson had 4 receptions for 150 yards. Man, it'd be nice to have a Bears receiver do that at some point. So, yeah, Bears secondary, outhouse.
Just really quick to my guy, Berlissimo. That is my that's my DC-16 Martin GTE, which is a gloss top. It is spruce top, but it's rosewood fretboard, and it still smells like it's fantastic, dude. I love that's my baby. I love that thing. So you got great eye for guitars, my friend. The pass rush. Wait. There was none. And that just the ability for Jordan Love, who I don't think is very good. I'm just going to say it. He's got a strong arm. He's fairly athletic, but I don't think he is as special. You know, I can't remember who said it, and you guys maybe will remember, but last year they said, if you don't have Patrick Mahomes, who do you want to run your franchise for the next 15 years? And someone said Jordan Love. And I said, I'm sorry. Are we watching the same? Like, dude's got 11 interceptions already this season. Anyway, to give him all day to throw to these receivers, it was egregious. It was terrible. And the lack of pass rush, just, it hurts my heart. It hurts my heart. There were some good things, boys. So let's talk about some of the good things. Stick with the same order. Let's go to the penthouse.
Real quick, are you now walking back your Jordan Love is good comments from last year? Are you officially, you know, back off the wagon?
Clearly, he played better than our quarterback. And last year, the stretch, he was pretty damn good. I don't think he's as good as second in line behind Patrick Mahomes. So if that's walking back, yes, then I guess I am. If that's what you consider to be walking back.
I guess I know you were you're like, guys, I think Jordan Love's good. And I was like, let's wait and see. I think he's just on a hot streak. And sure enough, he's kind of come back down to earth. Anyway, that's a conversation for another day. Look, I'm going to go for a twofer, but it's for a good reason. I'm going to say the Bears rookies, in particular, the first round rookies. You love to see the connection that Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze are creating in this game, especially. I thought it was really cool. Look, I'm not saying this is a moral victory. I already said I'm not taking that, but I do think it's cool to see that when push came to shove and Caleb needed to get the ball downfield to get the Bears into field goal range, who did he rely on? He relied on Rome Odunze, and he delivered. So there were a few plays that I thought Rome did fantastic on. I know there was a couple plays left out on the field, but I think it's just awesome that this rookie connection now is starting to develop. I thought, like we said before, Thomas Brown put these receivers in much more favorable situations and allowed Caleb Williams actual time to work and operate within the pocket. I thought Caleb played well. I thought Rome played well for the most part. A couple few plays here and there that were missed. But when push came to shove and the last drive, I just loved that it was the rookies getting things done. And that's what you want to see for the next decade plus, hopefully. Going forward, assuming this coaching staff doesn't ruin them.
I'm going to go with getting the ball out probably about a half second sooner, just in general, the whole offensive system that they were trying to get the ball out quicker and get it into athletic people's hands and let them make plays. So I like the balance that they had, but I think that's one way to, if your O-line's not great, get the ball out of your hands faster. And I think they did a great job, and it allowed them to get better and gain some confidence as the game went on. So I'm going to say just being able to release the ball quicker and making quicker decisions by the offense.
Yeah, that's a great call, Coach. I think we saw a huge difference in Caleb's play because of that today. I give Byard kind of a secondary shout out. He led the team in tackles today. Also, I'm not a Jordan Love apologist, but I think he was hurt from about like the very first game, third quarter. This might've been the first game he was like fully healthy. I'm going to go with DeAndre Swift, 14 carries, 71 yards, 5.1 average. He had a touchdown and a long of 39. I think Swift has been quietly becoming a crucial center point of this offense, and kind of like highlights the fact that they have got so many, I think, weapons on offense that if they find a way to unlock them in this second half of the season, which will be very difficult, obviously, but I think the fact that Swift kind of goes understated, underrated, says a lot about the potential of this offense and the weapons that they have. But I think he's been really good for the Bears and ended up being a really good offseason acquirement.
I'm going to say it again. I'm a broken record. Our friends at Roar the Lions keep talking about how stupid we are for letting David Montgomery go. No, we're not. I don't miss that dude at all. DeAndre Swift has been fantastic. These last couple, it's just been awesome. Jack, I'm a little mad at you for taking that one because he's just been so good. I'm going to go with a guy that that had, I think, a Herculean effort this week. His job was so difficult, and that is Thomas Brown. To take, it's not even his verbiage. To you know, yes, he's been working with it since the offseason, but it's like you've been learning French and now you have to like go have a presentation in French to a bunch of people. It's really important. You're like, I've been working really hard on French, but it's not my native language. And just doing, like I said earlier, the simple things well, not trying to reinvent the wheel, but also as Sean so well put, is just getting the ball out of Caleb's hands quick, putting the ball into the hands of your playmakers. What a novel idea. That's just insane, right? Like how could you, wow. We've been asking for this for the entire freaking season, and he did it. And I think he did a phenomenal job, and on such short notice. I just think it makes it even that much cooler. Boys, anything you want to say before we get to things that we missed?
I don't think I've got any notes and nuggets this time. Brendan, do you?
Oh, I've got nuggets, and I've got,
let's have some nuggets.
I could say,
are they spicy nuggets, well, or are they just...
Hold on, real quick, no, before he does that, I want to get to nuggets, please don't mistake,
yeah.
But I do want to, just because it was brought up yet again, Braxton Jones getting the blow-up block, that was just fan-freaking-tastic, that was so much fun, and then Xavier McKinney getting looked foolish after all the talking that he did by DeAndre Swift, that made my heart happy. Okay. Now, anything that we missed? Around the horn, boys.
So the first thing I was going to say, kind of honorary penthouse, do we give DJ more credit for playing much harder and more inspired? Because I know he wasn't doing that under Shane Waldron, but man, there was an emphasis to get him the ball. He was running hard. I know DJ Moore elicits a lot of strong reactions among Bears fans right now. I thought he had a very, very good game. I think he was fighting through a little, a few tweaks here and there. He was getting going in the jet sweeps. He was catching some short passes and breaking tackles. He had 7 catches for 62 yards on 7 targets. So he caught all of those. I don't know. I think maybe honorary penthouse member, but I don't know how everybody's feeling about him after the week that we've had.
I feel like, as I said in the text chain, that if he's going to be kind of a little B all week and be sort of a diva and kind of go in an unexpected way in terms of like his leadership and actions, you better catch the ball like in a crucial. I believe they tried to run a wide receiver screen to him and he put it on the floor. Now, obviously, not every receiver is going to catch every ball, but I'm still just a little surprised by him and the way that he's conducted himself. I just maybe I'm more surprised because I never would have expected for him to just behave that way. And then my only other thing is, hey, Nate Davis is gone, so yeah, he's gone. That's good.
So, yeah, I got one, Ryan. So my little nugget is, I think as you watch the new coordinator kind of get his ways, and that may have been why late in the game they weren't trying to press the throttle, just his timing and how he's getting his plays in. But we didn't see a whole lot of delay of games by the Bears with a new coordinator trying the wording. So he did a great job with that. They had a – I don't want to say a simple plan, but a really good plan And I think you're going to see, you know, normally to start the year, you see the biggest progress from week one to week two. I think we're going to see great progress with the Bears offense from week one with our new coordinator to week two. So I'm excited to see where this takes moving forward. I think they're in a good spot.
I want to watch a football team that isn't embarrassing. I don't feel like that's too much to ask. You know, I'm 42 years old and I've been watching the Bears for a very long time and I've loved this team, and this team doesn't always love me back, and it hurts. If this was a team where it's like the Eagles of the early 2000s, you know, when they would make it to the NFC Championship every single time and they would lose, and I'm sure Philly fans hated that, but they were never being embarrassed over and over again. Matt LaFleur has beaten the Bears 11 times in a row. That is just, it's staggering. I'm a little bit mad at myself today for watching that entire game and not going outside in the middle of a beautiful afternoon. But I love this team. And, you know, it's part of a family tradition that's been passed down. And, it's just crazy to me. Just that it's been since 2018. And, you know, anytime you work near or around young people, and I've had the opportunity to do so, that they don't remember it. They don't remember that, because it's been so long. And you just think, well, damn, that hurts even more. It would be fun to beat that team up north and to bring the tide back to a rivalry, because it hasn't been a rivalry for a very long time.
Ryan, I want to point out one thing. Like, and I know this is coach speak, but in the NFL, it's tough to win games. And I get that, and I get where Bear fans are upset. But we're really young right now, and we're trying to find our way to how to win games. Despite losing this game, there was like obvious progress today, right? Absolutely. And to me, that's the encouraging part. And so don't give up on your lifelong. Like, I'm a little bit older than you, and I've only seen it once. So, you know, like, there's 53 years in here of only seeing it once. So just remember, you're not that old. And I think the Cubs was a lot longer than that. So as Chicago fans,
you're not helping, man. If I got to wait 108 years.
No, you're not going to wait that long. In my opinion, there's definite hope after watching today. And what you said earlier, and I think Brendan said it, like, Jordan Love isn't as good as we probably thought he was last year. And you can see chinks in his armor. That's a great thing. And, you know, at some point in time, the Lions are going to have to pay up some of those guys. So we're in a lot better spot than a lot of teams now. And we're moving forward.
Last thing that I'll say, I want to throw it up to all you guys, is Caleb Williams is our quarterback, and that has me genuinely very excited about this team. Roma Dunze as a wide receiver has me genuinely very excited for the future of this team, and that's all I'll say.
Yeah. I mean, we could be the Jaguars, who just got blown out of the water and who already paid their quarterback and who are in cap hell and who are about to fire their staff. Like, it's not good. I'm not saying it's great, because, like, obviously this coaching staff needs to go, but we do, and I say we as Bears fans, we do get in this silo sometimes of just looking at everything the Bears, and it's like, this is all awful. Like, this is the worst thing ever. It's like, you know what? Why don't you take a little peek over there and watch? Oh, the Jets just blew a lead to the Colts. That sucks. Oh, the Jaguars, they can't seem to, you know, do anything like that. The Panthers, I mean, geez, that's a team that continues to be in hot water. So I, Sean is right. I've said it a million times. This isn't a moral victory, but at least you saw progress being made by the people, by the guys who need to make it. That's the thing. It's Caleb. It's Rome. It's the young guys. It's a new offense. Things could get better. It just stinks that it had to end with the mistakes that Matt Eberflus had to make. So I feel good about that. Just so I don't lose sight of it, the other things I was going to say quickly. Did you guys see the quote from Kalen Kaler from the Packers locker room about the field goal attempt?
Yes. Yeah. The low trajectory. quote.
Yeah. Yeah. So Caitlin Kaler, who writes for, I think she's either ESPN or The Athletic. She said, I just talked to several players on the Packers field goal block unit, and all of them said they noticed that Kairos Santos kicked with a low trajectory when doing film study, and they expected the Bears to run another play, which in their opinion would have made it more difficult to block. So you have Packers players that are scouting the kicker better than the Bears coaches who work with the guy every single day. That's not great. And then the other thing quickly is, this is from Kevin Fishbane. Sad Bear stat incoming. Since 1940, the Bears are now 101-24-2 when they have zero turnovers on offense and create a takeaway on defense per Stathead. And three of those losses have come in the last 3 weeks.
That's just, I mean, to win the turnover battle and to lose the game, I mean, that's just really, that's unicorn stuff. I mean, that's crazy.
Thank you, Matt Eberflus. Thank you. Boys, let's get out of here. This has been a really fun episode. Sean Drendel, it has been awesome having you on this episode. Let's get to shout outs. So Sean, for this one, anyone that might be listening to the episode that you want to shout out, anyone at all. So we'll go around the horn, we'll give shout outs, and then we'll give collective ones for the podcast. So it's time for some shout outs. Shout outs, boys. Let's go. Same order as last time.
All right, so quick shout out to my boy, Brad. It is his birthday today. He is Peanut Tillman years old, so it is his Peanut Punch birthday. I watched the game with him. It was a fun day. Unfortunately, ended badly, but we were able to play some golf before the game. So all in all, it was a very, you know, it could have been a worse day at least. At least I got to get some golf in before the end of the season. So shout out to him for the birthday. You know, it was great hanging out with him. I want to shout out Mike at MikeyD2393. He's kind of going viral right now. We follow each other on Twitter because it's funny, but it's sad. He posted the video of the field goal block and his kid is just having a meltdown. Just essentially saying like, what? No, it was good. And Mike's like, no, it was blocked. He's like, why? And he's just going through all the emotions. Definitely watch it. It's just how every Bears fan is feeling. And then a general shout out to all of my followers, on Blue Sky. I joined Blue Sky in the last week and, it's been really fun. Gotten a lot of new followers already. And I'm going to try to post there as well as Twitter, to just try to diversify my social media portfolio. So shout out to all my Blue Sky followers, and let's keep the conversation going, talking Bears and talking football.
The crazy part for me, Brendan, I have no idea what Blue Sky is. That's about my age, but big shout out to Heidi. Thanks for giving me a shout out. Matt VanderZanden for being on here. He's a kid I used to coach, a former Husky. And for me, big shout out to all my Husky players, as well as all the kids and all the youth out there that are playing football in the state of Illinois and throughout. Like, it's a great game. There's a lot of great lessons we all can learn from the game. And I'm a big fan of anyone who loves football. It's a great place. So thanks for having me tonight. Shout out to Jack and Ryan. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure to be here.
A couple shout outs. Last time when we were signing off, and if you want to sound off in the chat, let me know who you were. But I don't know if it was one of the Mats or if it was Berlissimo or might have been my son Connor. I'm not sure. But somebody said, hey, don't forget to, you know, like the episode and like subscribe and do all of those types of things, which was really cool because they did that unsolicited. We didn't ask them to, like, they were not a paid drop in there. So whoever you were at the end of the show last week, I thank you for, you know, you just asked everybody in the comments to give us some love. And for that, I really appreciate you. Shout out to Sean. Thanks for being on with us today, Coach. I'll say this, like, besides just having a really great football team this past season, not only in terms of record, but just and I think you learn over the years, like, this is way more important. But just having some of the greatest young men that I think I've seen come through North in a long time. I had a lot of those kids in class, and you know, from Jackson to Austin to the QB last year. Brock, I mean, some of the nicest, most respectful, kindest, coolest kids I think I've seen come through North in a very long time. And, you know, if you coach for a while, you do realize that it's those, and if you played or anywhere around the sport, any sports for that matter, you learn that it's the intangibles. Like, it's the things that have nothing to do with the score that make, you know, sports and football so great. So kudos to you, Sean, for not only your record, but for just having a great squad of kids this year. Good job, coach.
It's been an absolute joy to watch Coach Drendel coach for as long as he has been coaching, and it's been fun to be in the stands and watch him do what he does. And just he and I started chatting this evening and said, "Hey, we're a man short tonight. Want to come and talk some Bears?" And he said, "Let's do it." And so, Coach Drendel, thank you so very much. I got two more. The athletic director at your school, Naperville North, John Pereiro. That dude is working his tail off to try to bring a lot of really cool things to the programs. He's just a total awesome guy and a diehard Bears fan. So hopefully, John, you're listening to this one. Shout out to you, buddy. This one goes out to my pops. I am a Bears fan because of my pops. I love that man very, very much. And pops, I hope that you're listening to this episode. I bet that you do, because you have supported me in absolutely, utterly everything I have done in my entire life. I love you very much. Just thinking about you, pops. So love you. With that being said, we want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. We know you can get your Bears content anywhere, absolutely anywhere, and you've chosen to hang out with the Bear Down Chicago podcast that does not get lost on any of us. Please hit like, hit subscribe, hit follow. If you are watching this on YouTube right now, you just hit like, hit us with a comment. Oh my gosh, that was awesome. Whatever it is, anything to drive up our engagement, to bring more people into these episodes, helps us out a whole heck of a lot. And so we sure would appreciate it very, very much for all of us at the Bear Down Chicago podcast. So that is Brendan Shagrew, Logan Bradley, Patrick Sheldon, Cam Ellis, Jack Ryden, and for tonight, Sean Drendel. Folks, thank you so very, very much. Have a fantastic evening. And as always, Bear Down Chicago.